Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture comes from Luke 20, verses 27 through 38. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second. And the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally," no wonder, "the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive." Bless the reading of today's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever gotten into a stupid fight with someone else? I find myself getting into them more than I would like to admit on Facebook, even though at this point I should know better. The last one that I got into happened in the comment section of an article I posted. I posted the article because it explained why young people are leaving the church. I thought it offered a helpful and well-balanced perspective on a problem that many of our churches face. Instead of reading the article, my former stepfather's brother felt the need to comment. He wrote, "Most of all, folks have little or no idea when Jesus talks about loving him and keeping his commands. Love is not the only answer." I responded, I couldn't help myself. Even though I know that no one ever actually wins an argument on Facebook. Before I knew it, the article had 14 comments on it. As the comments grew, no one could remember what the original argument was even about, just that they were offended and they needed to defend themselves. In our scripture passage for this morning, the Sadducees are trying to pick a stupid fight with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that questions of the resurrection are stupid, but the way that they're going about it does not actually lead for a conversation about the resurrection. They're just trying to make Jesus look dumb. Now, the Sadducees, like the Pharisees, were a particular group of Jewish folks in the first century. And whereas the Pharisees were concerned with following God's law to the letter, what differentiated the Sadducees is that they did not believe in resurrection at all. And what they're trying to do is they want to prove to Jesus how dumb his belief in the resurrection is. So they give him this hypothetical scenario of a woman who has been married seven times and has produced no children. Who is this woman married to in the resurrection if she had seven husbands in this one? The thing we have to remember about Jesus is also a devout Jew who cares deeply about other devout Jews. Even if he disagrees with the Sadducees on their take on resurrection. It's interesting to me that Jesus never tries to outsmart them, because he knows that he will never convince them about the resurrection if he resorts to name-calling or if he tries to remove their dignity. Jesus takes another approach. He tells the Sadducees, "No one is going to marry or be given in marriage after they die. Marriage won't matter in the resurrection because marriage is for this life. Marriage is a good and helpful way for folks to follow God's teachings. But after we die, our focus is going to shift from obeying God's law to worshiping God forever." Jesus tells the Sadducees, while marriage is good and a useful thing for us to do in this life, the goal of this life is actually not to marry or to be given in marriage, but to become what he calls children of the resurrection. What he means by this is that our goal should be to be like the angels, God's messengers and God's actors in the world. Men and women choosing every day to dedicate their lives in service to God. Jesus says, it is well and good for us to wonder and think about what's going to happen to us after we die, but not at the expense of following Jesus in the here and now. As I was going through the scripture passage this week in preparation for today, I found my attention resting on this phrase, children of the resurrection. What does it mean to be children of the resurrection in our faith communities here and now? Since our scripture passage for this morning focused on widows, I decided to do some research to better understand some of the challenges that widows face. I found this really fascinating article about how widows struggle to feed themselves after a spouse dies. One widow said that the sixth stage of grief is cooking alone. The article surveyed widows whose spouses had died in the last 5 years. The widows identified three challenges to eating after a spouse passes. The first challenge is that they continue to buy too much food because they're used to buying food for more than one person. So they start to feel bad about the amount of food that is spoiling that they have to throw away. And this guilt compounds their grief to the point where they don't even think it's worth the effort to eat at all. The second challenge they identified is they don't know how to eat alone. Whether they're eating alone at home or in a restaurant, their dining rooms feel too big and their kitchen feels like not where they should be eating. The last challenge they identified was, I thought, the most interesting one. They said that they don't know how to plan for dinner time without a spouse's input. So the question of what do you want for dinner becomes too overwhelming each and every day. Although I did find one person said that being an adult is basically figuring out what you're going to eat for dinner every day of your life until you die. So take that for what it's worth. But after reading the article, I got to thinking about how our congregations might support widows, particularly ones who are struggling to feed themselves. It struck me that none of the widows interviewed for this article said, "Golly, I could really use a casserole that will feed 12 people." None of the widows said that it would be really helpful for somebody to invite them over for dinner. They all articulated that once the initial shock of grief passes, all widows, women and men, need to learn how to cook for themselves. And this means they need to learn how to adjust their expectations for what mealtime might look like. This article got me thinking, what if instead of asking a widow, "Hey, how are you doing today?" we ask them, "Hey, how is the cooking and how is the grocery shopping going? Are you eating okay? Can I help you with either of these things?" Everyone needs to eat multiple times a day. And if we want to eat, we have to buy groceries. Checking in with widows to see how they're managing these everyday tasks is one way we can care for them. Another thing that we might do is we might think about how can we educate widows on the basics of cooking and grocery shopping, especially if we know it was their spouse who took care of these tasks for the last 50 or so years. Talk with widows about what it looks like to go grocery shopping for one, how sometimes it's better to buy 2 pounds of chicken, even though it's more expensive than buying 10, that way 8 pounds are not sitting in your freezer forever. Some of the widows that I know and talk about how the thought of going grocery shopping by themselves is just too overwhelming. They don't know where the apples are, they don't know where the milk is, and they find themselves, when they get in the store, just kind of paralyzed by fear. Well, we have this really wonderful invention called grocery delivery services. Although most widows I know need help setting up an account and figuring out what groceries they need to buy each week. Another way that we might educate widows is to teach them how to cook for one person. What are some basic weeknight dinners? Meals that can be made in 15 minutes with a handful of simple ingredients. How might we educate widows on how to use leftovers in maybe the next day's lunch or the next day's dinner? A final thing I thought that we could do for widows is why don't we bring them together for a night of cooking and fellowship? Both of our churches have large kitchens and gathering spaces that would be perfect for this kind of event. Why not host a class where we teach folks how to roast vegetables or cook chicken? Why not create a space where widows can gather, where they can share their stories with one another, but where they can also learn useful skills in the process? Friends, I share this story not because I think a cooking class is going to solve all of the world's problems, but because I think it illustrates what being children of the resurrection can look like. This can be as simple as listening to the needs of our community and coming up with creative ways to meet those needs. Our faith communities have a lot of widows in them. But other communities have a lot of children, a lot of young people, a lot of empty nesters. Let's think about what the needs are of these particular groups and figure out how we might meet them. Friends, we do this because when we limit church to this 1 hour on Sunday morning, we miss out on opportunities to be the body of Christ in our daily lives. The problem with the Sadducees, and perhaps with the church of today, is that we expect that God is going to fit into our neat little boxes for him. But the God we worship is a God of resurrection, one who is constantly on the move, who is constantly doing new and seemingly impossible things in our midst. Our challenge this week is to discern how God is calling us to participate in resurrection life wherever God has placed us. The way that we do this is through this thing called discernment, or listening to the active presence of God in our lives. Discernment always begins with listening, with getting to know the people we interact with, by learning their joys, but also their concerns. The next step is finding one small way that you can be present for their needs. I was at the West Branch meeting earlier this week, and the speaker talked about identifying where Jesus is suffering in your community and having the courage to be present for it. Once we've identified this one small task, our task is to step out in faith, to show up for people, and to trust that the call is to be faithful, not perfect. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.